is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here on the program today. We cover a lot of things on Inside Douglas County. We thought we'd check in again with the Roseburg Public Library, where Chris Wiley is the director, and this has been a summer unlike any other summer for libraries.
Absolutely, Kyle, but fun in its own way.
And talk about just overall how things have gone in the past few weeks.
We have been super excited about the response from the community and the continued support that we get from patrons. We're open 3 days a week now, and that's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 to 2. And just yesterday, we had a few more than 300 people in the building, and they checked out over 600 items. It was fantastic.
Wow. So now you've gotten to like the final phase then in terms of hours and days and all that for now, right?
For now, through September 12th, these are the hours. Again, Tuesday and Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturdays 10 to 2. And then we're going to look at opening up on Wednesday afternoons and see how that goes. It's a balance, right, between being able to quickly provide service to people and stretching our staff to as much capacity as we have. We're not having our volunteers come in during public service hours, and that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. They come in behind the scenes. We have some volunteers there this afternoon. When we're closed, they're reshelving. They're doing some repairs, getting holds. They're doing a bunch of things that we really rely on them for, but that public service piece is being done totally by paid staff at this point.
So that's got to make it for just a little more complex day sometimes.
It is. We're all super flexible, which is the key for this. You never know what kinds of questions we're going to be asked and what may come in the door and need some help. And so we're all really loose and ready to help with in whatever way we need to.
Now, I haven't gotten to come in yet and take a look around, but I know last time we talked, maybe a couple times back, you were in the process of putting some things in just in terms of what people see maybe in retail.
Right. We have the plexiglass between the public service desk where we're checking out and issuing cards and where the patrons stand. And that's the biggest change for people, for us as well. It makes our conversations challenging, but we really, again, appreciate people's understanding of our new way of providing that service. We also have a one-way walk signs through the stacks. We just ask people to watch out for each other and maintain that social distancing.
So that public service desk, if I'm remembering right, it's like 30 feet long or something?
It's really long, and it's more of an L shape. We're providing service at the two primary desks when you walk in. We have three desks right now, and we've really basically taken one of them out of service just so that we can kind of consolidate because we have fewer staff at this point.
Wow. And so that's got to be a different look. Is that the main thing that's different in terms of the look of the library when somebody comes in?
That is the main difference. And that is a permanent installation. The other thing they'll notice is we've roped off our computer area. People have to come to the desk now for a login code. They can't use their library cards at this time. So we've roped off that area and have placed signage. We've distanced that space between the computers so that we do maintain in the 6 feet between stations.
So then did you take some computers out of usage or did you just spread them out in a larger area?
Both. Some of them are out of commission with signs, and then we did move two additional stations so we could put them into use. We have 8 stations currently available.
What kind of use do you get on the computers? I've been curious about that because unlike years past, just about everybody, but not everybody, has a computer at home, a device they go around with. But are you still finding that's a need for people to have those?
It is a need for people. And what we often see are people coming in to print. And we provide that service. People quickly get onto their email or bring their flash drive, print something off, pay for it, and take off. You know, you're right. People have the portable devices. They have their own laptops. But the printing component is still incredibly important. We also have people who do not have their own computers. And so we see that use as well as our Wi-Fi. And that's a pretty popular component of the library.
And that's a good point. Because for some people, especially if it's just money or if it's just space or whatever, a printer may not be something they have, even though they have the device.
I certainly don't have a printer, and it's nice to be able to just stop into a place like that, pay a quarter for your copy, and take off. You don't have to manage and support the hardware. We take care of that for you.
I know that whenever our printer at home, it's time for a certain type of ink cartridge or whatever, those are not cheap.
They aren't. And we're happy, again, to be able to provide that service. And the Douglas ESD is the one who actually provides the IT support for those public stations.
So talk about maybe some special things that are going on right now.
Well, we're transitioning with programs for adults as well in this new world. We're moving to Facebook Live for some programs coming up in September. I was really excited to see that there's a new author in Oregon. Her name is Jennifer Greer, and she's coming out with her debut novel. It's a thriller set in Medford. And she's going to be talking to us on Thursday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. We're at Roseburg Library. This book is called A Desperate Place, and it got a rave from Jeffrey Deaver. Really prolific mystery writer, and he said it's a nonstop thrill ride. So we're excited to have her. She lives on the Oregon coast. She worked as a journalist at the Sacramento Bee. And this book, the primary character is a journalist at the Medford paper, and she works with a medical examiner, I believe, who's her friend.
That sounds really, really fascinating. Now, have you gotten a look at it yet?
No, it's not coming out until next week.
Oh.
So we have it on order. We have two copies on order. We'll get the electronic version as well, but I can't wait to get my hands on it. I tried to get an early copy and missed my chance.
It's interesting because I lived in Medford as a teenager for a few years, and we used to go down there a lot during our kids' soccer careers and school, and so I'm really familiar with that. I also know people who've worked at the Mail Tribune in Medford, so this is, now I'm really intrigued.
What I love about these set in our hometown areas is you recognize the places they're talking about, and that's part of the fun of the experience.
So when she is making the presentation, are people going to be able to like type in comments or ask questions, things like that?
What they're going to be able to do is ask me, send me questions ahead of time, either call me or email me. But during the program, if they have a Facebook account, they'll be able to send in questions. And there will be some interaction between the author and me, and I'll be facilitating those questions.
Pretty fascinating. What about other things going on?
Well, right after that, we're going to have Eliza Canty Jones, and she is with the Oregon Historical Society, and she's going to present Nevertheless, They Persisted, The Women's Suffrage Movement and the Struggle for Voting Rights. That's Thursday, September 17th at 6:30. Again, a Facebook Live presentation. We actually had this one set up last winter in conjunction with the League of Women Voters of the Umpqua Valley and Douglas Education Service District. And then with everything happening, I emailed Eliza this week and asked if she'd go to Facebook Live. She agreed. She said they're doing their programs like that. And so we're excited to be able to connect the women's suffrage movement. We're in a big anniversary this year with the presentation that she's going to provide. And it really goes along with the Oregon Historical Society's exhibit at their facility.
Interesting. And when you have these live, you can keep them archived so people can access them at a later time. They can't interact, obviously, with the person live, but they can watch it later.
Right. And our hope is that we're able to keep it up for a period of time. For example, Aurora worked with some performers this summer, and they gave her permission to keep it up for 2 weeks. You know, different authors and presenters have requests about how long we're able to do that, but it does generate more views. And so certainly we'll be able to keep it up for a while.
Well, and even in this case, especially with the regional interest in particular for this book, you know, if that information, and maybe the author will be doing it from her end, gets shared with people in Medford that you're doing this up here, you may have some Medford folks watching this.
You're right. It changes the nature of how we think about publicity and promoting these programs ahead of time. Who knows what kind of response we're going to get? It could go regional rather than just local.
So what about new books? Are you still looking for new books this time of year?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. My article in the News Review this Sunday has four books I just read. They're coming out. They're hot off the press. This summer has been extraordinary. Typically, summer is a little bit down for the big name books, but not this year. Things have publishing dates have changed, and this summer has been really hot with some good books, both memoirs, which I enjoy, as well as fiction. I talk about a book set in Dublin during the 1918 influenza pandemic, and it's set in a hospital, and it's really fast-paced, and I just devoured that book. It's by Emma Donoghue, and it's called The Pull of the Stars.
I don't know if you've seen from that time frame in 1918. I've ran across from a lot of different sources on social media pictures from that era and even announcements about things that are closed, and it looks eerily similar.
Absolutely. It's really striking how, you know, 100 years later, here we are again.
Wearing masks, and theaters were closing, mm-hmm. and restaurants were eating outside. You know, I don't know how, saloons, I don't know what they did with those. But anyway, that's kind of a fascinating one. What about online offerings this summer?
Online, of course, Aurora is going to come in a bit and talk about her story times. Dr. Mark Breckenridge is still doing his online story times. Those are Saturdays, every other Saturday, and this Saturday is a new one. His stuff stays up for several weeks most of the time as well. We have our online books, which continue to be very popular. We have Cloud Library and Library to Go, which is the OverDrive platform. We're still issuing cards online if people have difficulty getting into us. Give us a shout on email at library@cityofroseburg.org. We can facilitate that, and then we can help people get through the process of accessing those electronic books.
Everybody's got different comfort levels during this time. If people want books, not sure they want to come inside a building, are you still doing the drive-up service?
We sure are. That's Thursday afternoons from 3 to 6. And we just ask people to call ahead. Then we'll have everything all checked out and ready to go. You can, again, email library@cityofroseburg.org or call us at 541-492-7050.
Got to take a break at Inside Douglas County. Aurora Olberg will come in to talk about youth and children's things with the library. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. And America Changed Forever ahead at 4 o'clock from CBS Audio this afternoon. Aurora Olberg is the Youth Services Librarian for the Roseburg Public Library. And you've been equally busy, I'm sure, with Chris this summer.
Yes, we're still doing all kinds of fun things at the library, even with all of our COVID restrictions.
So, first of all, and I saw the pictures the second time this week, talk about the Story Walk.
Yeah, the Story Walk, we are at our third park. We are currently at Stewart Park, right above where the Half Shell is. We really wanted to have a way to still interact with kids and get stories out, even if they can't come into programs at the library.
And now next week, you're moving to a different place, right?
Yes. Next week, we're going to move the story to Eastwood Park. It'll still be the same story, Hondo and Fabian, by Peter, I can't remember his last name. But it will be at a new park to try and bring it to more kids in Roseburg.
That's a neat idea. And I've seen comments on social media from different people I know who took their kids over there, took their grandkids, you know, and just loved it.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great to see even just putting it up in the morning and taking it down in the evening. All the people that come over to talk to us about what's happening here and how excited they were to take their kids to the story. It's really been great.
So at Stewart Park, how long is it there now?
Stewart Park, it's still here through Saturday, and then next Monday is when we will change to Eastwood.
And what hours?
It's there from about 8:30 in the morning to 6:30 in the evening.
Talk about some of the online things you've been doing for kids and youth this summer.
Yeah, we have been doing online story time every Wednesday at 10:30. We've also had some special programs. We had a ventriloquist earlier in the summer. Currently online, we still have a Harry Potter Wizard Band performance that's going to be up there through August 13th. And we have STEM technology, ancient technologies from the Museum of Natural and Cultural History. That's going to be up there through August 17th.
And what has it been like to, I mean, you really had to rethink everything.
Yes.
She shakes her head.
Yeah, well, because last year we had programs happening every day. Sometimes we had two or three programs happening a day for kids. So there was a lot more interaction with kids, getting to talk to them over the summer, talking to them about books. This year has been a lot different because we don't have that same one-on-one connection with kids. But we're still trying to help them find new materials and things to do.
And now do you have the, there's a name for it and I just went blank, but the children's area, which is called, is it
Mildred Ripple Children's Room?
Yeah, there we go. Now are kids still using that?
Yes, kids can go in there and look at books, but we used to have Legos and puzzles and computers available for them. And because of the coronavirus restrictions right now, we don't have anything for them to play in.
But they can still come in and check out the books and all that.
For sure. They can still come in. They can browse through books, see pictures that they like and choose that book.
And what about in the youth teen area?
The teen area, we still have some comfortable seating for kids to hang out in there in small groups. All of our rooms are limited. I think it's limited to only about 10 kids in the teen room at the time right now. They don't have computers again, but they do have space that they can sit and talk to each other.
So for the rest of the summer, what kinds of things are going on?
Yeah, for the rest of the summer, we're doing craft kits every Thursday. We still have craft kits planned. We have another STEM kit. We're going to do some rock painting, and we have some coloring postcards you can send out to your friend. We'll continue doing story walk, and we'll keep doing our online story time. And then we also have a musical story time that's going to happen on a couple of Saturdays.
So how do kids access these art kits, and what kinds of things are you doing with those?
Yeah, the art kits, we have them at the library on Thursdays. We have a limited number, but so far we haven't run out on a Thursday that kids can come in and pick up, or if they don't feel safe coming in on Thursdays, they can come and call us and we will bring it out to their car. We've also been bringing those out to the Lunchbox Express sites.
Oh, neat. Now, what kinds of things are in them?
Yeah, so we've done a Harry Potter Day where we had wands. This STEM kit coming up, there's like a bouncy ball, cups, scissors, wax paper, string, rubber bands, marbles, all kinds of items that you would need to play and create with.
So do you have like, with this kit, you could do this and this and this?
We do. We have instructions that are in there. This next kit that's actually coming up comes from the Umpqua STEM Hub. They put these together and gave them to us to hand out. And so there's some ideas that kids can do in there. There's some logging so that they can kind of track their thoughts as they were moving through the creative process.
Now, you had a summer reading program, right?
Yes, we do have summer reading programs still going on. Kids keeping track of how many days they're reading. They can read 30 days and get entered in to win a hoverboard or turn in book reviews to win some other fun prizes we have in the window. The last day to turn those in to be part of the drawing is August 25th.
So if kids haven't, maybe they've been reading, but they haven't been following the format, is there still time to sort of catch up and get things turned in?
Yes, for sure. We started back in June, so if you haven't started yet, come get a log, and we are fine with you backdating your log and saying that you've read earlier days in the summer.
What's ahead as you look towards the fall?
As we look towards the fall, we plan on continuing to do story walk through September because the weather will still be nice. We also have a program that we are going to be doing that's limited to 10 participants, but we will be doing a Girls Who Code program for girls grades 3 through 12 that we will be teaching some coding, and we have another computer programmer in the area that's a lady that is going to help us with that.
Wow. Now, kids, adults want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, best way is to call the library at 541 541- 492-7050.
Aurora Oberg, the Youth Services Librarian, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.